Welcome to Faith and Life Today, a place where your faith and life intersect with the issues impacting your world.
Faith and Life Today is a public affairs program from Life 107.1.
Now here's the host of Faith and Life Today, Jen Green.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Faith and Life Today. Today we're joined with one of our business partners, one of our friends, and I am just sorry that this is the first time that we have had you on to Faith and Life Today, because we've had a long-term relationship with Agape Pregnancy Resource Center, but this is the first time I've had you here, Leanna. I'm sorry for that.
Well, thank you for having me now.
At least we're rectifying the situation. That's Leanna Simpson. She is from Agape Pregnancy Resource Center, and we are excited to be able to partner with you. We've done hygiene drives with you in the past. We're going to be doing them in the future, and I know that our listeners are very passionate about what you do. But just in case there's somebody that says, well, what do they do? Why don't you give me the elevator speech and tell me what Agape is all about?
Well, thank you, Jen. Agape has been in existence. If you guys have been driving down Martin Luther King, it's one of the staples on the right-hand side of the road. If you're driving south, we have been there for 38 years.
Wow.
Serving really the inner city. It really draws from the local neighborhood. But we have been meeting people with help and hope, care and compassion, really at the crossroads of an unplanned pregnancy. That's where we meet them. And it started as one building that was really meeting the clinical needs of pregnancy tests, STD testing, and ultrasounds. And then it started to expand into education. Well, now we have grown so much bigger, and we provide case management. We have counselors and human services, social workers on staff in our resource center, and we provide life coaching, life skills. We help with goal setting. We help them reach their goals. We have a boutique, a hygiene pantry, and we're just able to have more of that holistic approach to be able to not only care about protecting the life of the unborn, but also really providing the support to allow people to be the best parents they can be so that the child has the best life it can have.
So after the moms decide to have their babies, you don't drop them as clients. They are still part of Agape. For as long as they choose?
Yes. Well, to be honest, we try to really focus on that pregnancy part, so those 9 months. And then we follow them for up to 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So
really?
Once they're in school, and to be honest, if they're reaching those job goals, they end, you know, we separate, but we are willing to follow them. And so we not only just meet people at the pregnancy clinic, we're able to meet them at the resource center. So some people don't come to us pregnant. They don't enter our clinic doors. They might enter our resource center doors. So they might have a tour.
Well, this is something that I didn't know.
Yes.
So let's stop, because if I don't know, that doesn't really mean much. But if I don't know, I want to know. So you can go to the pregnancy center and you can get, you know, the pregnancy test, get counseling there. So what happens at the resource center?
Okay. So a lot of times we see about 1,050 people that come into the pregnancy center. And so then we try to funnel a lot of those to that long-term help to stabilize those vulnerable families. But sometimes we don't meet people when they're pregnant. So yes, that's where people will hear, I just need parenting help. Or they're in the DHS system, and DHS is very familiar with us, and so they'll connect them to us. Or they hear about us from CFI or LFS or, you know, some of the local partnerships we have.
So you get referrals from state agencies.
Yes.
I bet you a lot of people don't know that.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we have that collaboration. So then people will just funnel in, and they'll have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. We see a lot of homelessness, a lot of drug addiction, a lot of previous incarcerations, or baby daddy is incarcerated, a lot of vulnerable families. And so then they'll come in there. So when we first started the resource center during 2020, we opened. I'm like, are we open? Is anybody coming?
It's such a weird year. Whenever somebody says, we did this in 2020, everybody goes, oh, yeah.
It's like, we opened the doors. Nobody came through them, but the doors were open. And so that year, you know, maybe 200 appointments. It was really minimal because nobody was leaving their house.
Yeah.
And so we launched kind of telehealth, like we connected via online and would talk to people about what's going on with you and that kind of thing. But now, you know, 3 years later, we are going to see about 4,100 appointments in the resource center.
In a year?
In a year. Isn't that crazy?
That's explosion.
It is. It is absolutely incredible.
And she's smiling, by the way, when she's saying this. She's like, this is amazing. And I'm like, whoa.
It is. It's so cool. And so we have our director has her master's in crisis counseling, and then she has a social services team. So we have one person who's fluent bilingual and then two English speaking. So we have a team of four social workers that oversee that building. Mm. And so, yeah, 4,100 appointments. It's incredible.
Wow. And mm-hmm. what can they get in the resource center? What are the resources that the state is sending vulnerable families mm-hmm. to you to receive?
Well, it's really two prongs. So one main thing we focus on is education.
Okay.
And so if you equip people with the tools to build something, they'll know how to build it.
Yeah, so knowledge is power.
Right. And so they're trying to build a functioning family. This is something they probably haven't experienced.
Yeah.
This is something that they don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. So that is, we really push out that educational piece. So we do that one-on-one.
Okay.
And we do that in groups because community is also power.
Sure.
And so that is one major facet. And then the second one is that case management piece. Mm. So every single person is working on a personal care plan or a plan of care, and they set goals for themselves. And those are based on 10 major life skills. It's, you know, mental health, mm-hmm. it's safety and physical well-being of them and their children. It's, you know, graduation. There's these 10 areas. And so then we help them set goals on what do you want to kind of take you out of this vulnerable space to take you to safety?
It sounds like life coaching almost.
Yes, okay. That's exactly right. So we're really trying to coach them and cheer them on. Most people don't have a cheering section.
Oh, you know, I wish I did, but no, we don't.
Right. And so that kind of brings me back to what is the commonality we see out of every person who comes in? Out of the 1,000 people who come in, what do they all say? And whether they come in the clinic or they come in the resource center, pretty much all of them say this one thing that is true, which is, I am alone. And one of our clients said this statement, which was so powerful. She said, I came in today and she was going to take her life. She was going to take her life that day. Mm-hmm. And one of her friends said, I know a place that helps. I don't know if they can help you. She had lost all her children to DHS. She didn't speak English. And her husband had made false accusations. And so she was standing there at the door and police were grabbing her children out of her arms. And even the baby she was nursing. And she goes, no English. She didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And where are her children? And nobody would really advocate for her or coach her. And she never knew, why have my children been taken? Where are they now? Mm-hmm. Are they safe? Will I ever see them again? And after months of this, she's like, I will take my life. So she walks into Agape because her friend said, just give it one more day. And so she said, when I walked in, I was totally alone. But when I left, I knew I wasn't alone anymore.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And so that is the power of community. Mm-hmm. That is the power of what we as followers of Jesus Christ know what it feels like to belong.
Yeah.
To be seen, mm-hmm. to be claimed, to be named, to know, I love you. And you are not alone. And that's what we get to be. We get to be Jesus in human skin. We get to look in their eyes and say, you are ours now. You have a family now. You have people who are willing to walk through the hard things of life with you. And these people, a lot of who we see, it's not just, I'm having a baby. It's, I'm having an unplanned baby. And my boyfriend is in prison, and I am not a citizen of the United States, and I don't have insurance, and I don't have family. And, you know, it's layers and layers and layers of
probably generational things that they don't know how to break.
That's right. That's right. So we are trying to literally break chains. Mm-hmm. One gal, I mean, I hate to keep using stories, but I think it really resonates.
Stories are awesome.
Yeah. So this gal walks in, her name was Sherry, and she walks in and she was living in her car. She was high. She had just taken meth before she came. She was hungry. She hadn't eaten in a week. She hadn't slept in a week. And she's like, I think I might be pregnant. Well, because of our hygiene pantry, we said, here, go in the bathroom. We're going to get you a bag so you can clean up. And we're going to cook you some chicken noodle soup so you can eat. And then we're going to find out
if you're pregnant.
Right. And so we took her back. And so in that moment, we realized we weren't meeting one person who was homeless. We weren't meeting one person who was hungry. We weren't meeting one person that was high. We were meeting two. And so by God's grace, she broke her chains that day. And when she was talking to me 6 weeks later, we were sitting there and she's clean and sober, had not done meth since that day. She said, you know, I met a lot of people who say they care about you. She said, I was grown up agnostic, atheistic. I really didn't believe much in God. She said, I'm going to tell you a story. I was dealing drugs up north. I was a drug mule for meth, and I was hitting 35 and going 75, and I hadn't slept in a week. And she said, I fell asleep behind the wheel. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the black, dark night, I heard a voice say, wake up. And she said, I realized I was asleep. And when I heard the voice, my eyes flew open. I was about ready to drive off a cliff. And I stopped just in time. And she said, in that moment, I knew one thing to be true. There was a God. And he had met me in the darkness. She said, I would like to say after that day, I chose him. I did not. I chose drugs. But I knew he existed. She said, that day I walked into Agape and a group of women sat and ate with a high, hungry, dirty person like me. I knew that same God who had met me on that road was meeting me there. And she said, you are who you say you are.
These stories are so powerful, Leanna. They are so amazing. If people want to know more about Agape, if people want to help, or if people need your help, where do you want to send them? Where can they go?
Well, the easiest thing is to really either Google us, and you can go to our website and make an appointment. You can walk in.
That's good to know.
You can just walk in. We don't turn any, if we're open, you are welcome. And we are here to help.
And if people want to help you.
Oh, yes, yes. www.agapedsm.com. And you can click in the upper right, there's a donate, or get involved. And there's some areas you can volunteer.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Faith and Life Today, a place where your faith and life intersect.
Faith and Life Today is a public affairs program from Life 107.1.